Welcome to Nonprofit Nerd Impact Unleashed. Get ready to dive into the world of nonprofits, where the nerdy passion and unstoppable dedication of those making a real impact is celebrated. Together with your host, Jarrett Ransom, the inspiring stories and game-changing strategies of nonprofit leaders will be explored. Join us to unravel the mysteries of successful fundraising, uncover the secrets to effective advocacy, and nerd out over innovative approaches to solving social challenges. Nonprofit Nerd Impact Unleashed is your go-to podcast for no-nonsense discussions with real-life superheroes of the nonprofit sector. Get ready to unleash your inner nerdiness and discover or rediscover how to change the world together. Now let's dive in and embrace the power of our nerdy side.
You're about to hear from my dear friend, Sarah Groney, and I think she's really going to give you some great insight into her life. She is a professional road tripper. That's right, professional road tripper. Did you even know that was a thing? She's a mama of four, a CEO of two businesses, and she loves to garden. So I hope you enjoy our conversation. She is always a dear to chat with. And again, she's so much fun. She's so much real. So here's Sarah Groney. Hey, thank you to Bloomerang. Again, really appreciate your support, really appreciate your investment into these conversations. Love what you guys are doing, love your culture. Thanks, Bloomerang. Sarah, I am so glad to have you joining me today for this conversation. When I was thinking about season one, Balancing Acts, you know, Nonprofit Nerd, Impact Unleashed, I think of all the roles that people play, and I knew I absolutely 100% had to have your voice in this conversation. So for everyone listening, Sarah Groney is here with me, someone whom I consider a super close dear friend of mine, although we don't talk nearly enough. Sarah, thank you for saying yes to this invitation.
Thank you so much for having me. This is such an honor.
Yeah. Well, when I look at successful parents, I pretty much only see a photo of you, Sarah. I feel like you're doing so much good. You are so invested in your community, so invested in your family, so invested in juggling all the things. And so if you feel comfortable, let's dive into some conversations. And I really like to ask out of the gate, who are you? And that encompasses everything, right? Like, what are the names you go by? What are the titles that you own? What are the, like, all of the things? Who are you? How do you show up in this space?
Yeah. I'm Sarah. I am also a mom and a bonus mom and a business owner, multi-passionate business owner. So business owner of a couple gigs, a nonprofit lover and enthusiast. I've worked both in-house and as a consultant. I'm a wife and a gardener and a friend. I don't know. I could go on, but those are the big ones.
Yeah. You could go on. We share a gardening love, and I know you've been seeing my photos lately. That's been a lot of fun. I have to ask, is gardening something you do because it brings you joy? It reduces stress? Like, where does that inspiration come from?
It totally brings me joy. Your garden is thriving. I had something eat all of my broccoli recently, and I'm so envious, like down to the little nubs, little stems. Okay. So sad, but I've been gardening, and my parents are both horticulturists. They kind of instilled that from the very beginning. I've gardened professionally on a farm, ran some gardens, but I really like, it's a time where my brain actually shuts off. Like, one of the very few times that my brain turns off, I get back into my body. It's a fun activity with my kids, but I really try to keep it for myself. Just a place to rejuvenate, and I can think about all the things, and I get carrots and tomatoes out of it.
The fruits of your labor, right? And the veggies of your labor. Well, you mentioned mom, bonus mom. What does the makeup of your family dynamics look like?
Yeah. So my bonus kids are 21 and 18. We have four girls, 21, 18. And then my own are age 5 and 2. We got a little spread. We have all the ages. The older two used to live nearby, and now they're across the country. They've got jobs and boyfriends and
life.
My young two are in school, and I get to get back to work. But I created my businesses around the time that I had my kid, my first daughter, and really crave that freedom that owning my own business and managing my own schedule allows, so that I can show up for her and have her by my side and reduce childcare costs, but and continue to work and do stuff that I really love.
Yeah. How do you juggle that all, especially your schedule, right? And I know, for me, there's half of the time I'm doing school drop off, half of the time I'm doing school pickup, half of the time, like it's just, I'm doing half in a co-parenting schedule. You're doing 100% in a full parenting schedule, if that's, a thing, as in ever, we're really just half. But looking at it from a standpoint of how do you manage? Because you said multiple gigs, like you've got multiple businesses and multiple schedules. How do you manage that?
Yeah, it's a lot. And I don't think I do it gracefully all the time, to be very frank. But I truly built these businesses around the flexibility that I crave and being able to show up for my kids. And as they get older, they're in childcare now. I have a kindergartner, one's in preschool. So they're gone for a majority of the day. But then, like last week, they had dentist appointments and then couldn't go to school the rest of the day. And then they were both homesick on Friday. Next week is parent teacher conferences. So their school's out early out all week. It's a lot. I feel like just looking ahead a week or two, not trying to freak out about like when am I going to get things done. I'm a night owl, so I stay up and crank out a bunch of work when no one needs me. Would love to be a morning person, but I wake up when my kids do and we just all get ready together. So I find some time. I also choose clients that will allow me to work minimal hours while maximizing the time that I have with them and still meet my own financial goals.
Yeah. And I think that's super important. And I know you and I have been on many Zooms before where your kids will show up on the Zoom, my kid might show up on the Zoom. Like it's just kind of par for the course. Do you find that that comfort level is there with the clients you work with as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. I tend to work with social service agencies for nonprofits, and there's so many people who are caregivers or parents and really understand the juggle, no matter how old their kids are and how around they may be. And I'm always really upfront that I'm a mom first, and they may pop in and shoo them away with a snack or something. And then my other business outside of nonprofits is branding and web design and message coaching for moms who own businesses. Like mostly because I was craving connection to other moms who are in the same position as myself, to just have that understanding of like, it's all happening at the same time. There's no separation.
Yeah, it is all happening at the same time. I want to get back to the dentist appointment, the parent teacher conference, the like we can look at our calendar and we can say, okay, there's X number of days. We know that we have these deadlines. We know that we're working on these projects. And then fire drill, right? Like our children get sick or the school is closed for whatever reasons. How do you manage that? Because you said, I try not to freak out. What are those things that you do to minimize the freak out?
The kids have an iPad. That's one tool. Not afraid to use it. They love some educational games. We really have like a good cadence because I built this business with them at home with me, and now they're in school. They understand that like when I have clients and I need to work, I am all in. And as soon as I'm done, I'm able to connect with them and make sure that their needs are met. And really just deciding like what tasks have to be done now and do I need to do them? Can I ask for help with them? Or can we rearrange the schedule and the goals for a client to still meet their needs and still get deliverables done on time, but also just understand that like life happens and letting go of some of that perfectionism. It's tough. It doesn't always happen, but
It is tough. You said the H word, help, right? How easy is it for you to ask for help? What does that look like? Who do you ask? Dig into the help, conversation. I'm really curious to hear how you navigate that.
We don't have like a big village or anything. Grandparents are kind of close by, but not close enough to watch the kids all the time. So a way that I ask for help in business is connecting with client, like help me understand what your goals for this are. Like if they come at me with, I have a zillion ideas and I want you to implement them right away, that feels really overwhelming to me. So just checking in regularly and reflecting back, like I want to understand what the overall mission is. What can we really focus on, and what can we really leave out for right now? So I think like clear communication with my clients, and then bouncing ideas off of other people who are doing this kind of work, like yourself. Also, like, hey, I have this problem. Like, what have you done? Just really like connecting with other entrepreneurs who are managing similar schedules.
Yeah. And I think you hit the nail on the head, like really selecting your clients. Who is it that you're working with? Are you in alignment with their culture, their values, their communication style? That to me has been a huge learning curve, saying yes to the ones that feel so in alignment and saying no to those that might just barely be off kilter, right? Like, how do you identify the fit?
That's tough. I In seasons of abundance, it's a lot easier for me to pick and choose and say yes. And then in slower seasons or seasons where I'm feeling like I'm crunched for time or financially, it's really easy to be tempted to say yes, I'll just do anything. And then I'm immediately reminded, like, not a great choice. Like clients are interviewing me, there's some sales that I need to meet, but also like it's a relationship, especially for retainer clients and ongoing projects. And like branding is so personal, and you really get to know somebody. Like, where do you end and your business begins? And like, I have to feel a good connection with somebody in order to go on that journey and dig in with them, whether it's a nonprofit who's rebranding their messaging and they've been really holding it really close, or a business who just needs some help or they're just starting out. Like it gets really personal.
Yeah. Funny how that happens, right? It's like as soon as you take a client that you maybe thought was going to be a fit, and then you're like, ah, oh, there it is. Nope, I should have seen this before. Do you catch yourself like, oh, why did I not notice whatever before? And again, I've been there too, right? Like I started my business in 2009. I've certainly said yes to several projects that I wished I had said no to. So like, what are some of the signs you look for?
I like to work with people who are decisive, who are open to a big conversation and then ready to make a decision on whatever it is we're working on together. Like, yes, I like this, no, I like this, and get really specific about why. Somebody who can gather all of their thoughts together and share those with me succinctly, and not some of the red flags are like, oh, they emailed me 12 times on a Saturday night. Because they're just having a brain dump and they've got all this stuff going on.
Yeah.
But I get really overwhelmed by that when I meet that on Monday. It seems to happen a lot. Have one right now. But
It happens. It's not perfect.
So I don't always see them ahead of time, but really trying to assess like, how does this feel after our first conversation? Really checking in with my own gut and myself of like, how do I see this going forward? Am I trying to force this to make this work because I'm meeting a personal problem, or do I really want to meet the needs of this client? And am I the right person for this? I've gotten really good at passing people on who I think might be a better fit. Not even if there's red flags. I won't pass somebody on if there's a lot of red flags with a client, but growing a referral network for other people to say like, I know I could th do this, but I know somebody who could do it better, and like, please let me introduce you to them.
That. Yeah, I really think that's important. And I've done that in my career too. I want to throw a curveball at you. Have you ever fired a client? And what does that look like, right? Like once you say, I'm in the deep end with this client, I'm realizing this isn't a fit and maybe they would be better off with someone else. Have you had to navigate that conversation before?
I did early on, and both of us, ironically, were emailing each other at the same time. I think we both felt it. Like, this just isn't working. She beat me to it, which I'm a little bummed about.
It's like a breakup. Like, I want to
But
break.
a minute or two. I'm like, no, I'm breaking up with you. But we were like, that was probably the only thing we were aligned on at that point, was like, it's probably best for us to not work with each other. And it was really kind, like, here's where I'm at. Here's everything I worked for. Like, here's everything I have for you. I don't want to leave you in the lurch, but I think it's time for us to part ways. It was hard. And there was a few that I should have broken up with before our contract ended. It just wasn't the right fit, but I stuck it out.
And those can be some stressful moments, which lend me to ask, what do you do to find the balance? What do you do when you're stressed? What do you do when you're saying, I need to take a break? I need some self-care. I need some relaxation. Like, what are the things that you go to?
I feel like a few months ago I would have said I do facials and I take a bath, and right now I do love baths still. Like a good bath. Nobody can bother me while I'm in there. But getting out and moving my body. Last week I went for a hike. It was supposed to be like a walk around the block with my dog, and we ended up at the top of a mountain. It was amazing that I've like always wanted to climb that we could see out of our backyard. But it's not a kid-friendly hike. And I was like, it's just the two of us. So that felt really good. That felt like I moved my body. I achieved a goal that was not work-related. That was nice. I know you've recently climbed Camelback, so can relate. And then realizing that I do love being productive. So if I can have like a dedicated time to feel productive, whether that's working on something for work, working on a side project for my own self, working on my within my own business, deep cleaning the house, like whatever's on my to-do list, if I can just like have a chunk of time to do stuff, then when I do relax, whether it's like playing outside or working in the garden or going for a walk or taking that bath, I'm not making mental checklists or actual checklists while I'm forcing myself to relax.
That sounds important. Yeah, I think that's really important. Wow. What about, I have to ask, like when it comes to scheduling, and I've had a conversation with another guest and we got into spreadsheets, post-it notes, like all these things, right? Like what do you use? What are some tools to manage your time? What do you find helpful for you, your girls, your husband, your clients? Like what are those tools that support you?
My Google calendars, they all sync up, and the paid Calendly account that allows me to block off times, like all of my calendars. So we have a family calendar, personal ones, both businesses, client calendars, all of that filters into my Calendly so that nobody can book time when I already have something on one of the many digital calendars. But then we also have a virtual calendar or a physical calendar in the hallway of like all the kids' stuff. Pajama days and library days and all the things. And then bouncing off like with my husband, his work is pretty flexible as well. So, hey, can you pick the kids up for the day? I'm going out to this meeting, or I have this work thing scheduled, or a networking thing, or a friend event. And he'll come home early and grab the kids. And so intentional conversations, a lot of calendars, and a lot of sticky notes.
A lot of calendars. Yeah. If you look at my desk now, and I think you've been in my home and you've seen my desk, but it's like markers and sticky notes. And in fact, my son came in yesterday and he's like, Mom, do you have any, God, what did he call them? He didn't call them index cards, flip cards, I think, something like that. And I was like, yes, I do. And I pulled back the closet door and it was like, oh, it was just everything was there, all these office supplies. Yeah. So many things, and they were multicolored. So that's a big tool and resource for me. Oh my gosh, we could talk for hours, and I hope soon we will, and hopefully even like grab a hike together. That would be fun. We can move our bodies together. But before we wrap up this conversation, and thank you for being so generous and open and real with your answers, have you scheduled your next vacation?
No. With kids, we call them trips, not vacations.
Yeah. So what's that look like? Because I know you've taken a big like road trip with your girls and you packed this super cute, I'm going to call it the charcuterie, right? Tray. But which, I mean, tell our listeners about that, because that's big for you, like having these trips with your girls.
Yeah, we have a lot of family who live 10 to 15 hours away, and we'll hop in the minivan and go drive to them. Our charcuterie is charcuterie in the car. We make it as fancy as possible, like an actual cutting board, knives, cheese, salami, all the things. And those are fun. They're a little stressful. Those are fun. Last summer we went to Napa, and that one actually did feel like a vacation. We had lots of grandparents there. I managed to find childcare in Napa, which is a state away. I can rarely find childcare here, but I had trusted friends because it's where I used to live and work. And they have kids, so they had personal referrals for a couple babysitters. So we got to go out and really enjoy Napa. That was fun. But next one coming up, I have no idea.
No idea. Oh gosh. All right, Sarah. Well, for our listeners that are saying, I want to know more about Sarah, where can I find more information about the gigs, the offerings that you provide? Where should we find you?
Both my websites are probably the best place to get to know me. In my nonprofit hat, it's called projectbigimpact.com. And then my mama hat is Impactful Mama. And you can learn all about me there.
I love it. Well, I'm sorry that your broccoli got eaten. I'm happy to share some of my vegetables. And
Oh, no.
yeah, I love that you're into gardening. That to me is a big stress reduction, getting my hands in the dirt, like seeing something really grow and then enjoy it. It's so cool. So I enjoy sharing those stories with you and hearing your stories as well.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me. This was wonderful.
Yeah, thank you, Sarah. It's always fun chatting with you, and we do need to schedule that hike. So let's get that on the calendar.
Absolutely.